My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
The writer of Hebrews said, "Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Today we have come to think about the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Friends, this is both an important subject and a very practical subject. For I suspect, were I to ask the question this morning, for a show of hands for those whose families are not impacted by divorce, whether relatively close or those outside further in the family, we would all say that someone in our family has been impacted by divorce, and we know the tragedies that come because of that. I have a handout that's been passed around this morning. I'd like for you to take that handout. If you don't have one, there'll be some young men who will come around. If you'll raise your hand, we'll bring one of those to you for this morning's lesson. These guys down here, go ahead and pass those around. There are several with their hands up. Bring those around. We'd like for you to have a copy of that if you don't have one. And what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to open up the Bible and see what God says on the subject of marriage, then on the subject of divorce and remarriage. And friend, as always, the greatest question, the question that needs to be asked this morning is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah 37, verse 17. What does God say on this subject, and what does He expect of each and every one of us? And so this morning, we're going to show from the Scriptures that marriage is a holy union. That the Bible teaches there is only one scriptural reason for divorce, and that is fornication or sexual immorality, Matthew 19:9, and that only the innocent party may remarry according to the words of Jesus. I want to commend our elders at this congregation. This also is where the leadership here stands on this subject. As you well know, at the beginning of every year and in our bulletin, our elders put forth doctrinal teachings that we want to stand by because that's what the Bible teaches. And here's where the leadership stands on the subject at hand this morning. The only scriptural cause for divorce is sexual immorality, adultery, or fornication. Only the innocent party has the scriptural right to remarry. If one does not have the scriptural right to remarry and does so, they are living in sin. In order to repent and obey the gospel, repentance would demand coming out of that unscriptural marriage. These are the things, as we open up God's Word, we're going to see from the Scripture this morning. So we're going to look at four passages in the Old Testament and six in the New Testament. And I want you to get your Bible out and turn with me to the original pattern for marriage, Genesis chapter 2. Open this morning to Genesis chapter 2. I want us to look at God's original pattern from the beginning. This, my friends, is what Jesus referenced when questioned by the Pharisees as the original pattern, and it still stands true as God's universal standard for marriage today. Let's look in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. The Bible says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was no helper found, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, He made into a woman, and He brought her to the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Now watch the command here. Therefore, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What is God's original pattern for marriage? One man, one woman, for life, period. That is the original pattern. That's the way God wants marriage to be. Now, there are several interesting things that we learn from Genesis chapter 2. We see that husbands or wives are to be helpers for one another. The marriage relationship is a holy union in that husband and wife are to help one another get to heaven. That's why God created marriage. Now, you'll notice God, when He chose a helper for Adam, made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God did not intend for homosexuality to exist. It is not according to His will. It is against the Scripture. And unions like that are not ordained or pleasing in the sight of God. God also, when He chose a helper, made God Adam and Eve, not Adam, Eve, and Lisa. God did not intend for there to be more than one man and one woman. That's the original pattern that God set forth. And so, if marriage are going to be the best that they can, that's what God expects. But sadly, sometimes things happen that alter that plan. I want you to open your Bible to Malachi chapter 2 and notice what is said in Malachi chapter 2 concerning God's view of divorce. How does the Father feel about divorce? Well, let's let the Scriptures tell us. I want you to turn with me to Malachi chapter 2. And let's look in verse 16. That's Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. The Scripture says, For the Lord God of Israel says that He hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. God, how does He feel about divorce? The Bible says God hates it. He doesn't want it to happen. He never intended it. And it's in His original plan. And it breaks the heart of God every time divorce occurs. Why? It covers one's garments with violence. What's that mean? Look at the damage and the violence that divorce does to the home. Look what it does to children. Look what it does to families. How children are left being raised sometimes by single parent families. How these children often aren't given the proper role model. There are many areas we could say it brings violence to the home. But God hates divorce because it destroys that original foundation He set up. Now I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 24. And like unto Jesus, Moses allowed, permitted divorce in the Old Testament because of the people's hard-heartedness. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 24, and I want you to notice what the Scripture says beginning in verse 1. That's Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. The Bible says, When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. When she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce or puts it in her hand and sends her out of the house, or if the latter husband dies who took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her, must not take her back to be his wife after she had been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Now, we learn from Matthew 19 why this was occurring. This passage often delegated fair treatment for women. They may have been passed from husband to husband because of the hardness of some of the Israelites' heart. Jesus said Moses permitted this, Deuteronomy 24, to occur. But I want you to notice, Jesus said from Matthew 19, verses 5 and 6, from the beginning, this was not so. It was happening. Moses relegated laws, gave laws to cover some of the women who were being passed back and forth like property. And yet, even in God's original plan, such was not the case. Now, the word uncleanness can as well mean sexual impurity. Many scholars believe that the reason the woman was sent out, like in Matthew 19:9, with a divorce, was that she was found to be not pure and whole sexually. And so Deuteronomy 24 gave some allowance as well because of the Israelites' hard heart. Now I want you to turn with me to the book of Ezra. I want you to turn to the book of Ezra. As we have seen from Scripture, God wants one man and one woman to stay together for life. That's His original pattern. What happens if someone is in a marriage that is not right, not according to Scripture? Ezra 9 and 10 tells us about this. Here's the background of Ezra 9 and 10. Under the old Mosaical law, God had told the Israelites, don't intermarry with the people. If they did so, it would have been a marriage that was against Scripture, against the will of God. Some of them, because they were rebellious and hard-hearted, went ahead and married the heathen women, and they had children from them. How did God tell them to deal with that sinful relationship? Look in Ezra chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Ezra 10, verse 1. Now while Ezra was praying, and while he was confessing and weeping and bowing down before the house of God, a very large assembly of men, women, and children gathered to him from Israel, for the people wept bitterly. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehaliel, one of the sons of Elam, spoke up and said to Ezra, we have trespassed against our God and have taken pagan wives from the people of the land, yet now there is hope in Israel in spite of this. Where's the hope? Look in verse 3. Now therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all these wives and those who have been born to them according to the advice of my master. And watch this. And those who tremble at the commandment of our God, let it be done according to the law. Here are people who found themselves in a marriage that wasn't right with God. God said, don't marry these people. They went against Scripture and married them anyway. How did they deal with that? God said, you've got to get out of it. To repent of ungodly relationships, you must stop doing the sin. If it is a sin to be in that relationship, living in adultery, Colossians 3, verse 7, whoever marries her commits adultery, Matthew 19, verse 9, then to truly repent, you've got to stop doing the wrong, which means stop living in that situation. In other areas of life, we understand the logic of this. For example, if someone had robbed a bank, and he said to himself, you know, that wasn't right. That was against Scripture. I want to repent of that. Could he say, I'm sorry, and keep the money? That isn't the way it works. He could say sorry and repent and give the money back. That'd be true repentance, because then he stopped doing the wrong and he's made restitution, repented of those things. Such is true concerning repentance. To stop it, one must stop living in that relationship. And that's what's identified in Ezra 9 and 10. Now, turn with me to the New Testament, and I want you to look at Jesus' words in Matthew 19. Same words are said in Matthew 5, 31 and 32. We won't look at those, but we will look at the words of Jesus in Matthew 19. What did our Lord and Savior teach concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage? Jesus makes it abundantly clear in this context. Look in Matthew 19, beginning in verse 3. the Pharisees also came to him, and watch their purpose, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Wife burns the toast, can I just divorce her? If I get tired of her and want to trade her in, can I divorce her? Well, can you divorce someone for just any reason? That's their question, okay? Now look at Jesus' response in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, here he goes back to creation, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Watch verse 6 now. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. What's the conclusion? Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Now, watch what they say. They said, well, why did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? They've got this in their mind that this is a command of Moses. Now, watch how Jesus corrects them. He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted, not commanded, permitted you to divorce your wives, but watch this. But from the beginning, it was not so. What's the Lord's law? Look in verse 9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced, commits adultery. God's law is this. If two people are married and they up one day and decide they just can't get along and divorce for irreconcilable differences, which of those can remarry? Neither. Because whoever marries either one of them is going to be committing adultery. Well, is there a reason for divorce scripturally? Absolutely. Look at what Jesus said in verse 9. Except for fornication. The word fornication is the word porneia in the Greek language. It's where we get our word pornography. It means illicit sexual activity. Any unlicensed activity, relations between men and men and women, things of that nature, outside the marriage bond, would be a reason for divorce. But then and only then, Jesus said, does the innocent party have the right to remarry? The one who has that except clause can remarry, but the other may not. Now, I want you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 16, and let's look in verse 18. In Luke 16, Jesus here reiterates the original plan without the divorce except for fornication clause. Luke chapter 16, look in verse 18. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. And so the joining in a relationship that's not sanctioned, according to Jesus 19:9, Matthew 19:9, which is not for fornication, you're living in an adulterous relationship and you're living in sin. And so it cannot be right in the sight of God. Turn then to Mark chapter 10 and notice how Jesus further defines this in Mark chapter 10 verses 11 and 12. Mark chapter 10, Jesus here states that if a husband or wife divorces for unlawful reasons and marries another, they are committing adultery. Beginning in verse 11, Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. And so the basic principle is one man, one woman together for life. That's God's original plan. Is there an exception for fornication? Absolutely. But if it's not for fornication and people remarry, how does God view it? Look in verse 11 and 12 again. If you marry that person or you're married to her, you commit adultery. Friend, the Bible makes it clear that adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Now, I want you to turn to Paul's teaching in Romans chapter 7 with me and notice what the Apostle Paul says concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Paul uses the marriage illustration as an illustration of our being dead to the old law so that we can be married anew to Christ. But notice the teaching that arises concerning this from Romans 7. The Bible says, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound to the law, bound by the law to her husband as long as she lives." We often say to young people, this marriage is going to be till death do us part. Man cannot separate that which God binds together, and so they're bound by law. Whose law? God's law to one another to stay in that relationship. Now, look at Romans chapter 7, verse 2. As long as she lives, if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. Death ends marriage. Mark chapter 12, Jesus said in heaven, there'll neither be marrying nor giving in marriage. Marriage is for this earth, not for the other side. And so when someone dies, that dissolves that marriage relationship, that bond. Now, look in verse 3. Here's the practical teaching. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she married another man. If while her husband's alive, she up and married another man, she'd be in adultery because she's still bound to that original marriage. Now, if the man dies, then she can remarry. She has that right. But God's law is one man, one woman for life until death do them part, the only exception being fornication. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And let's look at various teachings here that Paul mentions concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Turn to 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 through 15. Paul says, "Now to the married I command, yea, not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife." Divorce and depart are used as synonyms in verse 10 and 11. And so the original teaching God says here is don't divorce, don't depart. If you do depart, if a divorce occurs for unscriptural reasons, what are the two options? Look in verse 10 and 11. You either remain single or you be reconciled. That's the only options a person has. You can live a celibate life. You don't have to be married to go to heaven. It's not a right, it's a privilege, and you can lose that privilege, but you can still go to heaven. A person can either remain single or be reconciled to the spouse whom they unscripturally were divorced from. Now look, continuing in 1 Corinthians 7 at verse 12. Paul says, "But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children be unclean, but now they are holy." And so if you have a union where there's a believer and a non-believer, what do you do? If they're willing to stay in that relationship. Okay? Now verse 15. "But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace." What is Paul teaching here? Paul is simply saying if two people are married together, one of those is a Christian, one of those is a non-Christian, and the non-Christian says to the Christian, "That's it. We're not doing this Christianity anymore. I'm leaving." You don't depart and go with her. You stay and be faithful to God. You're not under bondage to give up Christ and follow an unbelieving wife. Does that mean you've got a right to remarry? No, it's not what's being talked about. The word bondage literally means slavery. Am I a slave in the marriage relationship? No, husbands are not slaves, wives are not slaves. Can't be talking about the marriage relationship. What relationship is a servant-master relationship? The relationship between me and Christ. And so I'm not under bondage to give up on Christ and go with an unbelieving wife or husband. I am to stay faithful to God, remain single, or be reconciled are still the only options available. Now, one last passage. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, I want you to look in verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. How does God feel about marriage? Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. And so this morning we've seen from Scripture that God wants one man and one woman to stay together for life. That's His original plan. If a mate commits fornication, Jesus said there is an except for fornication clause of which you may lawfully put that person away, but then and only then does the innocent party have the right to remarry. If people divorce unscripturally, they must remain single or be reconciled. Someone says, well, that's awful challenging and that's awful hard. Friend, sometimes we make decisions in life that make it challenging and hard. God's plan is the smoothest and easiest way you can go. But sometimes we make decisions and do things that make life hard. God's not to blame for that. When we make decisions, we have to deal with the consequences of those decisions. As always, we want to offer the Lord's invitation at the end of every opportunity, at the end of every service. If you've never obeyed the gospel, there is a relationship far greater than the marriage relationship. It is the relationship between God and man. Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? If not, we urge you to become a Christian this morning. If maybe as a Christian your life hasn't been lived like it should, and you know you've said or done things that are not right and that have brought reproach upon the church, friend, why not repent and make that right this morning? If maybe you're in a relationship that's not right with God and you know that, friend, you need to stop living in that to be right with God. Whatever your need may be, if we can help in any way,